I have a buddy named Ray Briers, and he owns a company called The Pipe Yard Inc., INC.com. And if you have a project that needs carbon steel pipe, he stocks everything you need. New surplus, secondary, you name it, rat hole, mouse hole, conductor casing, pipe pile, sign pole, structural, road bores, dredging. If you're buying or selling, you got an abandoned pipeline, wherever, he'll buy it. ThePipeYardInc.com, 409-788-PIPE, 409-788-PIPE.
It's that time. Lock and load. The Michael Derry Show is on the air.
Big news, Matthew Dowd has announced that he's ending his campaign. Wait, you didn't know Matthew Dowd was running? Well, why would you? Matthew Dowd is one of these guys who has pretended he's a conservative for a very long time. But of course, Lincoln Project, Bill Kristol, you get a lot of these guys that played that game for a very long time, but they really hate Trump and everybody who voted for him and most of the Trump agenda. So they've decided they've become Democrats. Well, that's what Matthew Dowd has done. And he had announced he was running for lieutenant governor against Dan Patrick, which is kind of funny because nobody cared. And now he has announced that he's not running after all. Not running because a black woman's going to run. And he says, now that there's diversity in the field, my work is done. I'm going to go ahead and step down. A diverse field is now emerging in the Democrat primary for this office. And it's time that I give up my seat at the table. We as white male Christians should do what real leadership demands and practice a level of humility, which demonstrates strength by stepping back from the center of the room and begin to give up our seats at the table. I probably shouldn't spend very much time on Matthew Dowd because nobody really knows who Matthew Dowd is. I would rather say a big thank you to each and every one of you who went out to the homecoming for Navy Seaman Charles L. Saunders, who was laid to rest yesterday, exactly 80 years after he passed away on the USS Oklahoma during the attack at Pearl Harbor. I saw a photo posted by the Beaumont Enterprise. Students and staff of East Chambers High School lining the funeral procession, every one of them flag in hand. And I'm going to tell you something. It is a thing of beauty. It is really a neat moment. Bowman Enterprise wrote, quote, Saunders was 18 when he and 428 other Oklahoma crewmen, the USS Oklahoma, were killed in the Japanese sneak attack that day, the date which will live in infamy, and launched America into World War II. The Navy in the past few years has been working to identify remains of unknown soldiers from the Oklahoma and other vessels. They've been buried at the National Memorial of the Pacific, the cemetery known as the Punch Bowl. But on Tuesday, Saunders was laid to rest in his hometown of Winnie, Texas. To date, 48 sailors remain unidentified from the Oklahoma, and 13 are missing. Saunders was buried next to his parents, Mortimer and Melina. Mortimer sounds like one of those names, because I think it was, of the old rich guys. Wasn't Mortimer one of the names in Trading Places? One of the old guys? Mortimer. Mortimer and Melina, M-E-L-I-N-A. In the family plot where his father had placed a stone for his son, the sixth of nine children, back in 1964. Families don't have nine children anymore. Of course, they have TV. That's what people did back then. Just got pregnant, had more kids. The Saunders family, like millions of Americans, suffered through the Great Depression of the 1930s. Mortimer worked construction and in the rice fields to support his family, but needs outran the provisions. That caused Charles, known as Sonny Boy, to give his kid sister, Annabelle, his shoes so she could walk to school. "I heard that shoes story growing up," said Bella Vieira of Forest Lake, Minnesota, attending the funeral with her mother, Cynthia Vieira Green, and many other family members. "My grandma was the daughter of Anna Cynthia. My grandma was the daughter of Annabelle," she said. "She would have loved to see this." Annabelle Von Felt was 3.5 years younger than her brother, Sonny Boy, Cynthia Vieira Green said. She died back in 2019. Family says they were overwhelmed by the support shown by the community. Back to the article. Sonny Boy, at 17 years old, joined the Navy on November 23rd, 1940, so a full year before the attack, in Houston, in part to ease the burden on his family. He had wanted to join earlier, but 17 was the earliest he could do so. He had been born on October 16th, 1923. When he and his friend went to Houston to join, that was the last time his family saw him. He joined the Oklahoma crew on January 26, 1941, as a seaman apprentice, advancing quickly to seaman second. By October, Oklahoma had returned to Pearl Harbor and took part in maneuvers, and on December 5, 1941, moored in preparation for a high-level inspection with ammunition stowed deep in the ship's magazines and all bulkhead doors and hatches opened. The ship's captain denied the gunnery officer's request to keep some of the ship's anti-aircraft defenses manned. At 7:55 a.m., December 7, 1941, Japanese planes launched the surprise attack 5 minutes before Oklahoma would have raised the Stars and Stripes that Sunday. After a volley of torpedo hits launched by Japanese bombers, Oklahoma capsized at 8:08 a.m., trapping most of her crew within. Rescue efforts began while the attack was underway. By December 11th, rescue efforts ceased. Just 32 crewmen were saved. The Navy notified Mortimer and Melina Saunders on December 21st, 1941, that their son was missing and presumed dead. The remains of the crew went unrecovered until October 1942, 10 months after the attack. Well done, Beaumont Enterprise. It's a well-written piece, very thorough. There is a school of thought out there, and if you're a conspiracy theorist, you already know where I'm going, that FDR or those within his administration were trying to mobilize support for our entry into the war, and that efforts were made to increase the damage to our fleet, our Pacific fleet, in order to excite the patriotic emotions of Americans, which, of course, it did. I don't know if that's true or not. I have read quite a bit on the issue. But you read things like that, and it sure does look fishy, doesn't it? They went out of their way to have that ship unprepared for a defense, supposedly because of an inspection. Maybe. Maybe not. I'm just sitting here
listening to Michael Berry. Allied Outdoor Solutions has been a show sponsor of ours in our Houston flagship market for almost 20 years now. And it's been fun because they've gone from just a handful of folks to growing and growing and growing, doing beautiful backyard solutions to make your backyard, your front yard, your side yard, your front driveway look like a resort. And over the years, they've added Austin, San Antonio, Dallas, And what the work they do, you can see it for yourself at AlliedOutdoorSolutions.com or have them come do it for you. 844-846-1010. 844-846-1010.
I read the news today, oh boy, about a lucky man who made the grade. And though the news was rather sad, well, I just had to laugh.
41 years ago today, at only 40 years old, John Lindman, entering the Dakota Lofts where he lived, shot and killed outside his apartment. The crazy nut had seen him earlier in the day, and John Lennon had been kind to him. You gotta really be a nut to do that. When we finish the morning show today, I will be interviewing Eddie the Boner Sanchez. His real name is Brian Shannon. But for those of you who were Stevens and Pruitt fans on Rock 101, where he produced that show for 16 years, if you were a fan of Mark Stevens and Jim Pruitt and the cast of characters around them, then Brian Shannon was a big part of that. The Uncle Waldo bits, the Eddie the Boner Sanchez bits, you name it. If you have a question you would like me to ask him, whatever became of X, Y, or Z, why did you do this or that, whatever your question may be, send that along by email, please. MichaelBerryShow.com. Click on Send Michael an Email, and I will review those and ask as many of those as we have time for during that discussion today. I am interviewing President Trump tomorrow before the show. I think it's 7 o'clock, and we will air that during the morning and evening show. If you have a question you would like to ask him, yes, I will ask him if he's running for president, and no, he can't answer. That's a campaign finance issue related to that, but it's always interesting to see how he answers that because he usually makes news in the way that he says it, and I will ask him because I think he'd be disappointed if I didn't. He will be in town, will President Trump, and Bill O'Reilly, who we'll talk to after the show's over this morning, will air that this evening, on the 18th at the Toyota Center. And we have some tickets to give away. I will do that in response to emails. You've already been emailing from when I mentioned it earlier. You can email me through the website at michaelberryshow.com and say, I would like a ticket or two tickets to see Donald Trump. And then in a sentence, whatever that may be, here's why you would like that. And we'll cut that off on, today Wednesday? We will cut that off by Friday. So have that in by Friday at noon. The earlier you do it, the better, because then I get it printed and I get it put in the list and I have more time to read it. As we get closer to crunch time where I have to make a decision on who we pick, then I have a lot less time and a lot less energy to pick the winners. So send me an email with, I want to see Trump. If it's you and only you, don't go finding somebody else. You do me a favor if it's you and only you, because then I can give two different people tickets, and I get extra credit that way. Right, Ramon? I will also be interviewing Bill O'Reilly when the show is over today. After Brian Shannon, I'll be interviewing Bill O'Reilly, and if you have a question you would like me to ask of him, why can't we do it live? For the reason that we do a lot of our interviews in between the shows. Oh, you mean we'll do it live? Oh, that's funny. That's a Bill O'Reilly joke right there. But people often ask me why we do that, because a lot of people do not want to be interviewed between 5 and 7 p.m. They are, some people have a commitment that they're cutting off at 5, that it'll go on forever. Other people are traveling. Other people are giving speeches. And so we tend to do a lot of interviews between 11 and 5, particularly between 11 and 2, because we can get bigger guests more often, because those are times that they're already committed to doing interviews. A USS Arizona survivor got his final wish granted on the anniversary of Pearl Harbor, the 80th anniversary of Pearl Harbor. He was interred in the sunken ship, likely to be the last survivor who will be buried in the USS Arizona. This is a news report from WAVY.
It was an ordinary start.
We're standing up on the boat deck discussing going ashore.
To an infamous day. Harvey Milhorn and his best friend Russ Tanner were making plans to see a movie later in Waikiki. They never made it to the theater. Around 7:55 a.m., explosions rocked the harbor.
About that time, a torpedo plane dropped a torpedo into the Oklahoma. We saw the meatballs of the rising suns on the wings, and we knew it wasn't a drill then, you know. We knew it was an actual attack.
These clips are from an interview Milhorn gave to Wavy TV 10 on the 50th anniversary of the attack in 1991. A fallen Marine officer stands out in Milhorn's memory of these moments.
All of his insides were scattered about, you know, and he was laying on his back. Of course, he was dead, and he had bled quite a bit. Well, I would have had to have stepped over him to get to the ladder to go down the starboard side.
Milhorn went the opposite direction, requested permission to abandon ship, dove overboard, and swam to shore and safety. He dedicated the next 30 years of his life to the Navy, but he never fully left the Arizona behind.
I can close my eyes and actually see it. I can see the ship burning and the explosion. I don't know, I guess it's burned in my mind, in my memory, and I'll probably never get over it.
Milhorn passed away in 2002. Logistics and cost took time to sort out, but today, on this 80th anniversary, Milhorn will rejoin his crew. His daughter and granddaughter brought his ashes back to Pearl Harbor to fulfill his final wish. We caught up with them via Zoom from Hawaii.
We're hoping that this will be he'll be at peace. And we will too.
He'll be laid to rest today by his fallen brothers and best friend Russ in the iron tomb at the bottom of the harbor.
I love those stories. It turns my stomach to think how those guys who gave so much from such a different time and so willing to sacrifice everything, how they have had to watch what has become of their country. How they have had to watch what a narcissistic, self-absorbed, weak people this country has become. Imagine watching that attack on the evening news and bolting out and heading down to enlist, to go off and serve your country, and seeing the worst travails of war, brutal war, and coming home, marrying your girl, working at the plant, working at the factory, Bethlehem Steel, DuPont, Chevron, and then growing old and retiring and watching what became of the younger generations. And you're too old at that point to really do much about it. It's terrible. It's absolutely terrible. We should be better. We owe it to them to be better. We owe it to them to be better. Ramon, did you see this story? I can't get to all the details of it, but there's a story. This guy's a rectal surgeon. Doesn't sound like that'd be a whole lot of fun, does it? This guy's a rectal surgeon, and the nurse leaves the surgery, comes back 10 minutes later, is in the middle of performing a rectal surgery. She hands him a beer, and he says, "No, I ordered a Bud Light."
Bacon is great. Michael Berry is greater. The Michael Berry Show.
Gone. He's on the run and you're dead. before you go to sleep. Say a little prayer every day, in every way. It's getting better and better.
Ago today, the Southwest Intercollegiate Athletic Conference, which would become Southwest Conference, officially came into existence when the original eight-member schools agreed on a constitution. Those eight schools were the University of Texas, Texas A&M University, Baylor, Arkansas, Oklahoma, Oklahoma A&M, which became Oklahoma State, Southwestern, and Rice. Rice was admitted provisionally. The new conference was the idea of L. Theo Belmont, athletic director at Texas, who saw the need for the larger colleges of the area to organize to engage in intercollegiate athletics. Throughout its 80-year history, the Southwest Conference provided high-level competition in numerous sports for its member schools, a press release said. The conference broke up in 1996. The member schools at the time, UT, A&M, Tech, Baylor, TCU, Rice, SMU, and the University of Houston. If you had told me when I was growing up that the once storied Southwest Conference would no longer exist, that UT and A&M would not play each other, I know they will again, I just wouldn't have believed it. Those were good times. That was all I watched. I didn't watch Alabama or Auburn or Florida or Georgia. Why would you? We watched the Texas team. That was the conference. That was the beginning and the end for me. Now I hardly watch sports at all. I've become so disappointed in what they've done. Mark, you're on the Michael Berry Show.
Hello.
Mark, are you drunk already?
No.
You sound
drunk. I'm just
drunk.
Falling asleep because...
Mark, you sound drunk.
No, I'm falling asleep
Are you still out of work, and is there still a warrant out for your arrest?
Yeah. I don't know what to do about it. You know, I called yesterday, and I stayed on hold all day. I mean, the whole show. I didn't get on. And I called Andrew back. He's a good guy, by the way. And what's up, Ron and Ted, Chad Nakanishi. I was wondering how to spell that name. But I was thinking, you know, about this officer getting sexually assaulted in this jail at Baker Street.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been to Baker Street. And I've seen a lot of stuff in there. I mean, these officers, they will. Well, you got to worry about the inmates and the officers if you're an inmate. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But I've seen, yeah, there's not enough people, obviously. So I'm not wanting to go right quick. People getting assaulted. That could happen to me. So why am I going to put myself in that situation? Well, you see what I'm saying?
Mark, that's one of many reasons you shouldn't get put in jail.
I mean, because here's the thing. You could go in there and somebody call you out or something,
mm-hmm.
and you're just in there for tickets or like me, probably DWI. And then now you're in there for assault, and it just goes on and on. Because mm-hmm. if you don't fight back, you're going to have a hard time in there.
You know, I was asked how Jeremiah Williams, I think is this thug's name. By the way, I had my private investigator run his background, and I will read it to you here in just a moment. It's a mile long, just so you know. It'll take me a second to find it. But I was asked the question, how could he beat a sergeant until she was unconscious and rape her, which he did violently. How could he do that without anybody knowing? So I have some listeners down there, and I was told, you've seen, if you've ever been to a jail, you know, but you've seen it because it's a dramatic scene in a movie when that gate closes behind you. And if you've ever seen somebody interviewed, like a Martha Stewart or somebody that would never have expected to be in jail or prison, jail is short-term, prison is long-term, they will tell you that the reality hits when that gate closes behind you, because that's the moment you realize I'm no longer able to freely move about. And that big, heavy door closes and it makes a noise. I was asked how he could get away with that without anybody knowing what was going on. She had that kind of door on the front door to her office, I'm told, so that when he slammed the door behind him, he could have gotten away with murder, and damn near did. And no amount of screaming would have been heard by anybody. I've not been there. I'm telling you what I was told by somebody who has 100% knowledge of exactly what happened. I don't know if they will ever reveal the details of how awful what that bastard did to protect her. And they've not revealed her name, and that's a good thing. I hope they don't. I will say that stringing that bastard up on Main Street at noon and pulling him in every different direction as he is taunted with cigarette burns on his eyeballs would be too kind for him. But that's exactly what the Democrats want, is that guy freely walking around to do what he did.
You're raising them right. The Michael Berry Show.
Our life together is so precious. Together we have grown. We have grown. Although our love still special.
Ramon is a huge John Lennon fan, so you're going to be subjected to John Lennon tunes today if you haven't figured out, because this is the day he was killed. Murdered, whatever you want to call it. We don't doubt that. The thing about it is, had he lived, I don't think he had another interesting song in him. Had he lived, I don't think he would have gone down as the hero he was, because his life. Oh, you're gonna bring Lynyrd Skynyrd into this? Are you kidding me? They were flaming out. You don't even know what their third album was. Don't talk about things you don't know anything. You're trying to hurt me right now. That's what you're trying to do. You're saying things for the purpose of wounding. That's what you're doing. You're trying to hurt. Now take it back. Ronnie had 10 more great songs in him. I'm telling you, they were just really hitting their stride. He was still in his 20s. Oh, man. You know what? Please stop talking to me. This is inappropriate. I'm not even going to repeat what you're saying, because it is so out of line. So out of line. Well, I guess we probably ought to go ahead and get this over. Dan Bongino called out Dan Crenshaw and said somebody needs to primary him based on comments he had made at an event here in Houston recently. Every time Dan Crenshaw says something stupid, I am asked by a number of you, do you still stand by him? And it has been my practice for, I don't know, the last year and a half, whatever, however long it's been, that he's just gone off the deep end, that I have just remained silent on the issue. but I can't do that any longer because I am responsible for a lot of people supporting him in the first place. I don't want to give myself more credit than is due, but I am well aware how big a role we played in helping him get elected and where he was when I first started supporting him. I owe Kevin Roberts an apology. Now, let me say this. I have a lot of mutual friends with Dan Crenshaw, and I don't have anything against him personally. I have a lot of mutual friends with Dan Crenshaw, and that makes this a very complicated thing to say. However, I ask you, when I give you my word, to trust me on that, and I would not be honest with you if I didn't address this, because it has reached the point now that people wonder, are you supporting what he's out there saying? Bongino made the statement, somebody needs to primary Dan Crenshaw, based on remarks Crenshaw made, probably not intending for them to be filmed and repeated, but they were. Here is what he said.
Supporting these two. There's actually other veterans in Morgan's race. There's other front runners. But why support these two? Well, because I've been in Congress for almost 3 years now. There's two types of members of Congress. There's performance artists, and there's legislators. Now, the performance artists are the ones that get all the attention. They're the ones you think are more conservative because they know how to say slogans real well. They know how to recite the lines that they know that our voters want to hear. Let me tell you guys something. In the first 2 years of Trump's presidency, when Republicans were in control, when every single time we were voting on Donald Trump's agenda, who do you think was at the top of that list voting with Trump, and who do you think was at the bottom? A lot of names you would recognize were at the bottom of that list. A lot of names you would recognize are at the top of that list. Number two is, it's probably going to make you cringe a little bit, it's Adam Kinzinger. Voted with Trump almost 99%. He was number two. But it was at the bottom. Everybody in the Freedom Caucus. All of them. What you hear so often is not true. It's not true. We have grifters in our midst. Not here, not like in this room. That's not what I mean. I mean in the conservative movement. Lie after lie after lie, because they know something psychologically about the conservative heart. We're worried about what people are going to do to us, what they're going to infringe upon us.
I can't defend that statement. Calling the Freedom Caucus and going out of his way to say every single one of them, grifters, performance artists, hiding behind who votes with who, and declaring that Adam Kinzinger is a good guy? Most of you probably know who Kinzinger is. Kinzinger was the guy the Democrats brought in, along with Liz Cheney, who Crenshaw has gone out of his way to defend. Kinzinger is the guy who was brought in by the left to be the Republican attacking Trump after January 6th. Crenshaw's gone out of his way to criticize other Republicans and doesn't seem so eager to do that with Democrats. That's the Liz Cheney model. That's the Adam Kinzinger model. That's the Lincoln Project model. That's the Elliott model, Charlie Sykes. We have seen these guys, and I'm going to tell you, and it's turning into a very similar situation, that was the John McCain model. John McCain spent most of his energy attacking fellow Republicans like Ted Cruz. John McCain insulted the Tea Party every chance he got. John McCain worked very hard to gut anyone who was in the Tea Party. We have seen the rise of the establishment Republican in calling out the Freedom Caucus and Trump and anyone who criticizes their go-along-to-get-along or get-along politics. We saw a fundraiser for Liz Cheney by the Bush crowd recently that has gone out of its way, to attack Trump supporters, conservatives, the Tea Party, Cruz, Trump himself, you name it. I can't support that. I won't support that. It has to stop. There has to be accountability. You weren't sent to Congress to attack the base. You weren't sent to Congress from this conservative district to be the next John McCain. And to the extent I was responsible for sending him there, I am now responsible for telling you I do not approve of what he's doing. Not one bit.
I have a buddy named Ray Briers, and he owns a company called The Pipe Yard Inc., INC.com. And if you have a project that needs carbon steel pipe, he stocks everything you need. New surplus, secondary, you name it, rat hole, mouse hole, conductor casing, pipe pile, sign pole, structural, road bores, dredging. If you're buying or selling, you got an abandoned pipeline, wherever, he'll buy it. ThePipeYardInc.com, 409-788-PIPE, 409-788-PIPE.